Well, that was good. Thank you. Enjoyed all the singing this morning. Enjoyed the choir. Enjoyed the congregational songs. And I enjoy being in the house of the Lord. Glad to see you in the house of the Lord this morning, each and every one of you that's here. Every person, I want you to know that God loves you. God cares about you. And I want God to speak to your heart this morning and to make you feel welcome. We're going to be reading in just a minute out of Proverbs chapter number 25. I want to just mention again this, we got a lot of things coming up here to church. And, you know, this red book singing, I'm looking forward to that. And you say, well, what are we going to do? We're going to have people here filling the choir that just love to come and sing. And they're going to be singing loud and out. And it would be great. There's a lot of these songs in this book that I'd love to see the choir learn some of them. And I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a time of worship and having fun. And I just can't help but believe there's going to be homemade peach ice cream. Homemade banana ice cream. Can I go ahead? Butter pecan. Chocolate. There was a cherry vanilla here one time too. And we're going to have 18. Y'all going to have to help me out. I'm running out of flavors.
Chocolate.
Butterfinger. Amen. But I'm looking forward to that. You know, we want to go ahead. We need to start selling these tickets for this wild game banquet. I talked to Brother Johnny Hunt about coming. I was fortunate enough to get a direct connection with him. That's how we were able to get him to come. But when I talked to him, he said, you know, I do a lot of these. He said, a lot of times what happens is you get a celebrity, and I mentioned some of the people we've had. He said, you know, celebrities draw a crowd, but they don't draw the net. Right. Amen. You know, we got 800 tickets to sell. We want to sell 800. What I'm hoping is we run out and we have to order a couple of hundred more. We have had in the past that number of people here prior to all this pandemic COVID stuff, which we praise God that that's starting to take and go behind us some. But here's why we want to do this, folks. We want the fellowship. It's great for the church. But we want to be able to see somebody saved. We want the people of this world and this community to understand that, yes, there is a God, and He does care about them. And the days are coming, based on all the things that we're seeing get lined up, that God's going to come back for His church. And He's coming for people that are looking for Him. You know, I can't help but believe if we were able to reach just the community within a five-mile radius of the people that are unchurched or either saved and not going to church, we would not ever be able to fit them into this building. For me as a Christian, understanding what I understand, when I drive down the road and I look at the churches, I don't know why the parking lots aren't full. I don't know why there aren't people parked on the side of the road just waiting to get in. Looking in the windows, trying to hear the word, trying to sing the songs. And we want to be able to reach them, Brother Billy, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So please go ahead as you go out today, go ahead and let's go ahead and start getting these tickets so that we can get them distributed into our community. You know, there's a lot going on in the world today. You know, we thank God that we're starting to see the masks go away. Now, I know some people that still have ongoing health issues, and I certainly understand that, but I am thankful that the infection rates are going down. The hospitals are not seeing the hospitalizations. We're not seeing the impact of the COVID virus that we had at one time. And I'm thankful for it, and I get excited about it, and I think, well, maybe things are about to get back to where people can get out and people can feel better. Then all of a sudden, we have the events that are happening over in Ukraine. Folks, we need to be praying for the people in Ukraine. Amen. And I worked with someone who is from Ukraine, and when you talk to them, and the lady that I worked with just brought her mother and dad to the United States less than a year ago from Ukraine to live with her. You get a whole different perspective when you hear people say all that the people of Ukraine want to do is to be able to live their lives. They want to be able to send their children to school, and they want to be able to worship God. There are a lot of Christians in Ukraine. Well, what about the people in Russia? I want to tell you what the people in Russia want to do. They want to do the same thing. They want to be able to live their lives, and they want to be able to send their children to school. They want to be able to worship God, and they want to be able to have a life. And it's terrible that you have just evil leaders in countries, in both countries, that get to disputing and arguing until you get to the point that people's lives are affected. Folks, we need to pray for the people of Ukraine, but we also need to pray for the people of Russia. And we need to pray that God would speak into the heart of the leaders, that they would understand the impact of the things that they are doing to their own people. Because you cannot build a country by taking something from someone else. And sometimes we don't matter whether it be a leader of a country or whether we're in church or you're at work. You can't let your ego get in the way and have the impact that it's had. It's heavy on my heart. And I see it, and it's heavy on my heart. And then I look at the United States. Yes, we're blessed. Yes, we are. Had somebody tell me this past week, we were talking about being able to have the things that we have in this country, and we were talking about our military. And yes, we have a lot of strength, but we have nothing, nothing at all, if we don't have the favor of God. If you go back and you study the events that happened in World War II, and you study the islands that were stormed by the Marines during the conflict with Japan and the war, and you see the hand of God. I saw it when we would go into an island that had 20 to 30,000 Japanese soldiers, and we would be able to take that island. And the losses that we incurred in World War II, both being against Germany and Japan, on average were about 25% of the losses on the other side. And when I began to read these things, this was in Bible college, and all I could do is see the hand of God as He has blessed this nation. It's not by power, it's not anything that we have, but it's because of the goodness and the mercy of God. And when I see it and I begin to understand it, then I look at this country. Yes, COVID's been an issue for 2 years. Now we have a war in the Ukraine. But we have leadership in this country that has forgotten what it means to bow before Almighty God and make our laws based on what's written in the Word of God. And we need to pray for our own nation as much as we pray for these. Because the biggest fear that I would have is that not that we would be impacted by any military out there, but simply that God would remove His hand. You see, my prayer for the people of God is that we'd come together, we'd worship, we'd still pray. And I want to tell you, folks, there are still people that are coming together and praying and seeking God. You know, when we were with our daughter and our grandchildren last week, we went to church with them on Sunday morning, and we wanted to do that. They're in a new community, and I wanted to encourage them. And I want to tell you, it encouraged me when I went to church with them, when I saw the Sunday school class, and I saw them going through the Word of God, when I saw the youth program, and I saw the people that were working together. But when we sit in church, and I heard the preacher preach from the Bible, and he preached a fantastic message, I said, this is where I want my children to be. You know, we're not the only ones. And if it wasn't for the hand of God and the people of God praying and seeking God, we'd be in more trouble than we are today. God's people do make a difference. And yes, it does make a difference when you serve God. It matters. You know, you turn on the news, and they talk in Atlanta about how many murders they've had this year. The violent crime, the carjackings. Even in our little community here, and you understand this and you know this, some of you do not even want your wives to go to the gas station at night by themselves. You don't want them to go to certain stores by themselves. Why? Because, and we have officers, police officers that are a part of this church, they'll tell you if you just knew the things that were going on in this community, it would scare you. The drugs, the trafficking. Young people, don't take it for granted. When your mom and daddy tell you to be careful and you need to be at home, pay attention. There's a lot of things out there. And when I look at these things and I hear about them, you know, sometimes I just feel that there's so much coming against us. And I thought about that song. Remember the old Anne Murray song? We sure could use a little good news today. You know, sometimes what happens in our lives, Christians, is we get to looking at all the things going on in the world, all the things that we've had to deal with the past couple of years, and then we look at what's going on in internationally, and you look at the sabers being rattled and the mention of nuclear weapons, and it's like, why is this happening? Then we begin to hear the things that are going on in our own nation and the turning away from God and the mockery of the Christian faith. And we think, why is this happening? And sometimes I can't help but tell you, church family, that when I hear of the things that you're going through, the sickness, the doctor's visits, the things that you're having to deal with, do you ever say, God, why is this happening? Yesterday, Kendra shared with me the testimony of a young lady who passed away from cancer at 31 years old. And she told the story of how she went through it and how during the process of going through it, her husband left her, and three different times she had bouts with cancer, and she told the story of laying on the bathroom floor and arguing with God, screaming at God. God, where are you? God, why is this happening? God, why are we experiencing these things? If you're there, why is this happening to me? And she went from screaming at God and asking God and dealing with all the pain and all the trouble and wondering why things continue to come the way that they are, to just laying in the floor, recognizing that she was fearfully and wonderfully made and chosen by God. And she said, you know, I looked for God and I sought for God until I realized I wasn't looking low enough. She said, I found that God was on the bathroom floor. And I want to tell you, folks, it profoundly impacted me when I read that testimony. Because, yes, we've had it to deal with the past couple of years. But here's what I want us to understand as Christians. Until Jesus comes, we're going to continue to see it. We're going to continue to deal with it. There's going to be more pandemics. There's going to be more pestilences. There's going to be more earthquakes. The Scripture says that there will be wars and rumors of wars. Until Jesus comes. And what we need to do is recognize in our relationship with God that whatever we're going through, wherever we're at, right in the middle of our turmoil, of our situation, whether it be COVID, whether it be war in Ukraine, whether it be being persecuted on a college campus for being the only Christian in a class that doesn't agree with the liberalism, we're going to deal with it till Jesus comes. But Jesus is on the bathroom floor. Jesus is in Ukraine in the middle of the war. Jesus is with you in the pandemic. He's with you in the classroom when you're the only one that's standing up for God. Because He's going to walk with His people. What I want to bring to you for just a few minutes this morning is the constancy of God in a changing world. In the book of Proverbs, chapter number 25, verse number 25, one verse says this: as cold waters are to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And as I read that verse, I thought of that song, sure could use a little good news today. Well, I want to give you some good news this morning, just to remind you. Folks, we're on the winning side. Number one, I want you to understand this morning that God has not changed. God's not changed. Just because we see all these things going on around us in the world doesn't mean that God's changed. God's Word's not changed. You got one of these. I looked in this Bible in the very front of it. I got this Bible on January the 29th of 2002. I didn't realize I've already had this thing 20 years. Just this one in my hand. I had another one that was just like it, exactly like it, published the same year. And I kept it for about 25 years. I've taken a little better care of this one than I did that one. And then I looked at the house. I have another one that's got a black cover, and it belonged to my dad, who was a preacher. All of my life, a pastor. And I just did this. I understood what was there, but I did this for a purpose. I got his Bible, and I laid it beside my Bible, and I opened it up, and I opened to some scripture. And when I began to read over here in my dad's Bible, I found that the scripture read exactly the same way that it read in my Bible. And can I tell you that if you'll go back a few years, it's going to read exactly the same way that it read in your granddad's Bible and your great-granddad's Bible, because God's Word has not changed and it's not going to change. Amen. Amen. The world's changed, but God's not changed. Psalms 119, verse 89 and verse number 9, he says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." You see, God's word has not changed. Another thing I want you to understand, God's character has not changed. You ever live in these days that we're living in today, where there's so much being pushed against you and being pushed against the church, that you know that you can go to churches today and they're changed? They don't preach the way they used to preach. They don't believe the things that they used to believe. They don't look at the Word of God the way that they used to look at the Word of God. Some of the pastors have even changed, and I've heard some of them. I remember one time I was on a job site. This was back in 1985, and it was a different denomination than what we have, but it was a church that feels like you got to be welcoming to the world. I remember talking to a man that took 3 months off to work on the church there while they were building it. Now, that's admirable. But we got into a conversation about Jesus. I'm a Christian. He's a Christian. I thought we can talk about the Lord. And we got to talking, and he stopped me. He said, "Now, hold on just a minute. Jesus didn't walk in 1985. It was 1985. I said, "You hold on just a minute. God's word reads the same way today that it read when God spoke to Paul and said, pen these words. When he spoke to Moses and he wrote the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, it reads the same way. I want you to understand something. God's character has not changed. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God cannot be impacted by a bunch of liberals that want to change the word of God? Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 says this, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." Hebrews chapter 6 verse 17 and 18 says, "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable or unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, yet we have a strong consolation who fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us." You see, God is still the same God that they prayed to during World War II when the church doors were left unlocked. I can't help but go back in my mind to those times. You remember the Waltons? Some of you young people need to look that up. That's old stuff. But the Walton era during World War II, and they had the little church, and they had the times that there was rationing of gas. There was rationing of sugar, and there weren't any old tires laying around in piles because they had to bring them so that they could use every scrap rubber, every scrap metal, and they brought it. But it was different because on Sunday morning, you didn't have to go around begging people to come to the house of God. They come because they were praying, saying, "God, save my son. God, save America. God, protect us from the evil axis of enemies that's coming against us." They prayed and they sought God. The church doors were left unlocked so that men on their way coming home from work. And I thought about it, and Kendra and I have talked about it. I got a boy about to be 17. I got one about to be 22. I got a son-in-law that is enlisted as an officer. And he's training to where he'll be very valuable in a conflict. Brother Jackson right here. Be called if there's a conflict. We got other young men around the church that have been part of this youth group that are there. I want to tell you something my wife and I have already had talked about it. My son-in-law mentioned, he said something about being drafted. My wife said, well, what age? I said, anywhere up to 30 years old if there's a real issue. Have we forgotten how blessed we are in America and we come to the point that we want to have the favor of God, but we don't want to honor God in the way that God should be honored? Here's good news. Good news is that God's word's not changed. God's character's not changed. And I want to take it farther. God's promises have not changed. There's no evil leader. There's no liberal leader that's going to change the promises of God. Scripture says it is impossible for God to lie, and it also says that are given unto us as His people exceeding great and precious promises. Everything that God says is a promise. Sometimes I say, have you ever made a promise? I know a good preacher, Brother Jimmy Dunn. He said this right here. He said in the Bible where it says shall, he said that's a promise that's going to come to pass. He said, you and I say we sometimes will do something and we may have the absolute effort that we're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to do our best to do it. But I want to tell you something. You and I can fail. You and I can be influenced. You and I can get weak. But God is not weak. He never gets surprised. And His promises are going to come to pass. You see, the promises of God are not affected by COVID-19. It's not affected by Putin. It's not affected by wars and rumors of wars. And it's not affected by a Supreme Court that decides they're going to change what the Word of God says. God's not changed. Amen. And here's something else I want you to understand. God still cares for you. Sometimes we're going through things and we go through 2 years of not being able to do the things that we want to do. We still have members of this church that are very concerned about getting out because they have very sick loved ones that we're taking care of, and we understand that. But you know, sometimes what happens is when we're absent from God's people and we're absent from the presence of God, you know what it's easy to do is we begin to wonder, does God still care about me? Does God still see us? Does God still understand what we need? Does God still see His people? Well, here's good news. God has not forgotten His people. And here's something else that I thought about. This is good news. God still answers prayers. When we come together and we seek the Lord and we cry out unto Him, I want to tell you something. It can move mountains. You see, He cares and He answers prayer and He knows what we need. He sees us. And when He sees us, He sees what we're going through. And He sees us when we're going through the difficulties of life. Even when we question Him and we wonder where He's at, the Bible says in one place that He remembers that we are dust. In the 103rd Psalm, it says, as a father pitieth His children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. You see, ultimately what it boils down to is God cares about you when you're on the mountain. But God cares about you when you're at the lowest point. I was at a Christmas singing this year for John Barry. Country singer, used to sing some country songs. I know I'm dating myself for this, because I was young back then. But he gave his personal testimony, and he talked about how faithful God was. And he talked about going through a bout of cancer, and he told about being bent over after taking chemotherapy, bent over the toilet so sick he could not stand up. And he said his wife would come in and she would rub his back while he was sick, and she would sing, "Great is thy faithfulness." Can I tell you that Job said, "I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye has seen you for myself." Christian people, I want you to understand, when you're going through the most difficult things of life, it's the time that you see God the clearest. Why? Because God cares for you right where you're at. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15, 16 says this. It's a question. It says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb?" Now you mothers know what it's like to be a mother and have a child. And here's what it says. It says, "Yea, they may forget, but I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, and thy walls are continually before me." Now, when I start to think about that verse, the scripture says, yes, a mother could possibly forget her child. But the scripture says, this is God speaking, "I won't forget you. I've graven you upon the palms of my hands." What's on the palms of Jesus' hands? The only thing, you ever heard that song? The only thing there, talking about in heaven, that's made by man are the scars in the hands of Jesus. I want to tell you, Jesus Christ right now is on the right hand of God the Father making intercession for you and I. And he won't forget you. Good news. I'm going to try to get done. God's eternal plans have not changed. When we see the things coming to pass that we see in the world today, I want you to understand something. God is not surprised. God is not caught off guard by what's going on in this world. He's not walking around wringing his hands. I'll tell you, I do a lot of pacing. I do it at work. I do it at home. God's not upset and worried. He's not trying, walking around heaven thinking, "Oh, it's got bad down there. I just don't know what I'm going to do." He sees it. Amen. And he saw it, and he sees the past, the present, and the future all at the same time, and he's not lost his power. The scripture says, in Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but the scripture says that his words, my words, will not pass away. God's eternal plans have not changed. When you and I begin to get troubled and upset at what we see, God said these things would come to pass. But he also said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. You see, Jesus is still coming back, like he said. He is coming. He does have a place prepared for us. And we understand this life, that this life is temporal. I was talking to somebody this week, and we were talking about this life and this body. You know, if it'd be okay if I could go down to Walmart and trade this old body in for another 21-year-old. Maybe mail order. You know how you order a car? There's a song that we sang out of the Red Book, "I'll Have a New Body." Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. You know, you get to the point, the older we get, the joints, the arthritis, the pain, the eyes. I watch them old cowboy movies and I wonder, how did they see back in them days without glasses? What did they do when they needed to go to the dentist? God's got something prepared for us. This is temporal. And it's going to pass. We had another funeral yesterday, and it's been so much of that this year. People going out to meet the Lord. I want you to understand something. One day you're going to go out to meet the Lord. And that may be sooner, it may be later, but in this world that we're living in, we're going to see things. But what I want you to understand this morning, God's not changed. He's with you, and even in the midst of your terrible situation, sometimes God is able to be with you. I'm going to read just a couple of more verses, and I'll close. I read this often, but I want to read it often. It's in John chapter 14, the first part of the verse, the verse number 1, says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." You see, David said, long time before that was written, he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet. We're going to have a song. What I want you to do this morning is be encouraged that God loves you, God sees you, God cares about you, and that the good news this morning is that God is not changed. God is not impacted by anything going on in our world. In fact, it's lining up just the way that He said it would. And what God wants you to understand that whatever you're going through, whatever the situation is, however difficult it is, He is there with you. We'll give you an opportunity to come and pray if you'd like to come and pray. I want to give you an opportunity if you want to join this church. You can come join this church by statement. You can join by baptism. We welcome you and we want you to come be a part of our fellowship. But we want you to feel like when you come to Hiram First Baptist Church that you can come and talk to God. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, this is the most important thing. One day, you're going to stand before Him. And if you're here in this service this morning, you're going to remember being in this service. You're going to remember the opportunity and when the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart. And you're not going to be able to say, "God, I didn't know." Because the Holy Spirit's the one that lets you know. Amen. Last Monday night, we had somebody get saved right here. Right here. I went over to pray with him, and I got down beside him. I had trouble communicating with him, but the Holy Spirit spoke. When he got ready, Brother Roy, he was saved. You know, that's what it takes to get saved. It's not repeating my words, and I don't mind doing that. It's not coming and trying to say this or say that. It's when your heart gets in the right place, you know there's a God, and you're not Him, and you surrender to Him, you can be saved. Every person needs to be saved because the Bible says one day, the day's coming, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Whatever you'd like to pray about this morning, she sings. If you'd like to come, would you please come?